I'm Marco Werman. You're listening to The World.
Well, look at the kid from school. He's teaching mamas and papas how to be a little cool. He's changing fashion the way he dresses.
And you're also listening to Belle and Sebastian, who happen to be one of Matthew Barzin's favorite acts. Barzin confesses he's a straight-up audiophile.
Oh, this is true.
He also happens to be the U.S. ambassador to the U.K., and hanging in his office next to a portrait of President Obama and Winston Churchill is a poster of the one and only Johnny Cash. Since being appointed ambassador a little more than a year ago, Barzin's love of music and his record collection have fast become subjects of discussion among diplomats and world leaders alike. His love of music actually began right here, where I am, in Boston.
I grew up in Lincoln, Massachusetts, right outside of Boston, and I listened to lots of radio. I mean, I had one of those, as we did back then. It was sort of a receiver and a tape deck and a record player all in one. And you'd wait for your favorite song to come on the radio and then try to hit play record in time. And I was a huge Aerosmith fan.
Uh-huh.
And WBCM was doing this contest that you had to say, you know, what year did the album come out, be the first caller or the 10th caller or something, you could win tickets.
And people not from Boston, BCN is the big rock station here.
I'm sitting there, I have the album, it's like the first album I ever had, and I look, and sure enough, it just says the date right at the bottom. So I was like, oh my gosh, they don't realize this. I know the great secret. So I sat there dialing and dialing and dialing. I finally got through. I was the 10th caller. I had the right answer. So I won tickets to see Aerosmith at the Worcester Centrum.
Very cool. How big is your record collection now? And did the State Department put up a fuss when they realized what they were going to be shipping to London?
Well, no. I mean, like many people my age, I had a good record collection. And then when records went out of favor and CDs became all the rage, I jumped into the CD thing. In fact, I've mistimed every possible. I did mini discs. I mean, I chase lots of red herrings in the musical space. Anyway, so my record collection sort of got sold and lost, sadly. So I've rebuilt it here in London. So there was no shipping involved. I just started it from scratch when I got here a year and a half ago, put a turntable into the U.S. residence, this big, grand, lovely place, great platform for diplomatic stuff. Not a place you would expect a turntable, but when you come in, there's a record player right there, and then kind of like a record store collection with my ever-expanding vinyl collection.
That sounds fantastic. I'm jealous. So aside from the vinyl, you also throw house concerts with the U.S. Embassy there in London. You get indie bands like Belle and Sebastian. I guess The National has played. But you see these not just concerts. They're kind of diplomatic affairs. And I'm wondering if you can explain how that works.
You mentioned some of the great acts who've very generously given their time and their talent to us to try to help U.S.-U.K. diplomacy. And I guess at a basic level, yeah, I mean, it's that diplomacy at its fundamental level is about connecting with people. And it's not just elected or official government-to-government relationships. We do lots of that. It is crucially important. But doing more than just that. And so that's why we do these events where we actually do get the government leaders, but in a different context, all together in one place, united by a love of music and the particular band we're featuring that night. And it really works. It's fun.
I think about world music, the phrase world music, and you know, a lot of people define it as everything that isn't Anglo-American music. Is there a lot of need for the U.S. and the U.K. to kind of reconnect through music? It seems like it's already a really strong connection.
Absolutely. I mean, I forget the exact statistics, but if you look at songwriting as a percentage of GDP, it is U.S. and U.K. at the top of the world that way. And number three, I think, is Sweden. And I used to be ambassador to Sweden. And that's actually where we started it. We had the great American artist, Will Oldham, who did our first house concert.
Bonnie Prince Billy, right?
Bonnie Prince Billy. Yeah, he goes by many names, Palace Brothers, Palace Music. He shows up like eight different places on my iPhone. And then we did M. Ward, and then Ben Soli, who's another great Kentuckian. Anyway, so those are the three we did
great
in Sweden.
Cellist.
And then we decided to keep that going here in the UK.
Who's in the room at those shindigs? I mean, have you been able to discover musical tastes of other world leaders, diplomats who've come to these concerts?
It's a fun way to get conversations going. I mean, at one of them, we had Prime Minister David Cameron came with his lovely wife, Samantha. To me, it's about the mix of people. So often we find ourselves in our official lives sitting around a table with a little, you know, name card in front of you, your name, the country you're from, your title. And that's part of who you are. But actually what we do at these events is we literally get rid of the table. I mean, there is no table. We yank it out, put the musicians in there so that you're standing shoulder to shoulder.
Have you ever been surprised by the taste of some of your guests? Like, what is David Cameron like in terms of music, and did it surprise you?
Well, we both have young children roughly the same age, and they, I think this is true in his case, I know it's true in my case, that Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift were popular ones in our household. In fact, both of their albums are on continuous repeat in the Barzin household.
How does the vinyl collection work into the kind of soft diplomacy?
My inner control freak, when I got this job, I thought, okay, I love music. I'm going to make the perfect Winfield House, which is the name of our residence. I was going to make the perfect Winfield House mix, and I started getting into it. And I tried it out at the first event, and then I realized, instead of me trying to pick the right music, why don't I just have parties that are self-DJing?
Oh,
and
I
it's
love
amazing.
That idea.
And so people just come and pick it out, and you find out about things, and we live in this great capital city of London. But another great thing that music does is it gets people to talk about where they're from, where they're really from. You know, and you find out they're from Newcastle and they love Dire Straits, or you find out they're from Leeds and they love The Wedding Present or whatever it is. And same with Americans. You say, well, I'm from Minnesota, and you talk about Prince or The Replacements or Soul Asylum, and you get into this great back and forth.
So tell me, where in London are you shopping for records at the moment? What's the hotspot?
Well, you've got Notting Hill, you've got Honest John, which is incredible.
Yeah, Honest John.
The problem is I pretty much can only get out on weekends. And as you know, it is just wonderfully, but some kind of impossibly packed. So
right.
I tend to go, when I get away on the weekends, I try to drag one of my children with me, and I'll go to Soho. Sister Ray is a great one.
And who are your top artists right now that we will not have heard of yet in the States? And leave us with one track that we must know about right now.
Oh, dear. Here's who I'm listening to nonstop at home is a great Scottish musician, Alistair Roberts. Do you know him?
Yeah, traditional, right?
Yeah, I mean, he has that traditional, folky, Fairport Convention-y sound, but very, I mean, he's writing all his own stuff. It's just amazing. There's a great story where Alistair Roberts, up in Glasgow, saw Will Oldham back in 1995, handed him a demo tape, picture the old cassette tape, you know, listen to this, please. He did, and they ended up collaborating together, and Will produced one of his early albums. So again, a great US-UK connection. So I'm listening to lots of Alistair Roberts. Oh, and the song recommendation, Trapeze Swinger by Iron and Wine.
Mm,
it's
okay.
9 minutes long, and if you're anything like me, at the end of the 9 minutes, you just want nine more minutes.
Okay, we'll go out with Trapeze Swinger by Iron and Wine. Matthew Barzin, U.S. Ambassador to the U.K. and vinyl diplomat. Very good to meet you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Marco.
Please remember me happily by the rosebush laughing with...
From the Nan and Bill Harris Studios here at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Catch you tomorrow right here on The World.
The World is a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston, supported by the PRI Global Reporting Fund, providing in-depth reporting on a diverse array of important topics, including global health. Donors include Marguerite Steed Hoffman and Blythe Brendan Mann Foundation. The PRI Ambassador Council, whose members include Peter Berge and Debbie Sitt, and Cindy and Howard Rachofsky. The WGBH Fund for Environmental Reporting, whose donors include the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting a cooperative approach to solving our critical environmental problems while we still can. And by the PRI Trust for Innovation, which enables informed risk-taking in the creation of new content for public radio. Donors include the Tagney-Jones Family Fund and the Rose Family Fund.
PRI, Public Radio International.